Hey everyone, I am with Pastor Donovan Washington, and I am privileged to be speaking to another esteemed youth director in the North American Division. So how are you doing today, Pastor?
I'm doing well, my good friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. All right, let's get right into it. If you could give us just a short bio about yourself and what led you to where you are now in ministry.
Okay. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina. I have a deep love for the church because I was raised by my grandmother, and she loved the church intensely. Went to Oakwood, like many of my colleagues, and really after that, my brother, I could say the rest is history. But I was privileged to begin ministry as youth pastor or associate pastor under two esteemed men in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Dr. Charles Drake, who's retired now. My first job in ministry was in Central States Conference at the St. Louis Northside Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I was the associate pastor and youth pastor there. And then not long after seminary, I worked for Dr. Calvin Rock, and I was the associate pastor and youth pastor at the Las Vegas Abundant Life Church. And those two experiences, along with my Oakwood experience, really got me interested in youth ministries.
Wow, interesting. You said along with your Oakwood experience. I'm a little curious about that. Like, what happened at in your college days that really you started saying, youth ministry, I'm interested in it?
Well, Oakwood is I won't call it magical, because I believe it's more spiritual than magical, but you get what I'm saying. It's a phenomenal, beautiful place. When you go there, it really changes your life. And I've always had an interest in, you know, being in student government. I was the student body president of my high school. So when I got to Oakwood, I wanted to get involved. And so one day I saw a group of guys together, and these guys just seemed like the pillars of the earth, man. They looked like they were just running the school. And so I asked around, and it turned out one of the guys was the student body president. And so I walked up and introduced myself to one Wesley Knight. And Dr. Wesley Knight. And he hooked me up with Gamal Alexander, who was the religious vice president. And Gamal got me involved in a ministry called Bell Tower Ministries at Oakwood. From there, my fire was lit for service. Now, when you're serving college students and you're a college student, you don't see yourself as a young person. You just say, these are my friends, these are my buddies, you know. But we were all kids, you know, we were all 18, 19, 20 years old. But from there, I served as Bell Tower Ministries director. I served as a student senator. I served as a student chaplain. And then eventually I became the religious vice president and then head chaplain of the college. We had so many responsibilities there. One of them was running the Tuesday chapel for all the students. Another one was planning the college days youth service. They used to have a youth service for college days. And then alumni weekend, they would have a youth service as well. And we plan all that stuff, you know. Upon graduation, I did not get into ministry. I put all my eggs in one conference's basket. Didn't work out. But Dr. Delbert Baker and the university invited me to be the lead recruiter for the conference, where I would travel to high schools. I would travel to even some of the college and youth events and invite people to join Oakwood University. So I had all this experience dealing with young people, you know, going to high schools, and God was just directing my path. So by the time I became youth director now, I was used to traveling. I was used to being around youth and young adults. And I had developed a knack for it.
Wow. I like that. It's basically what you're saying is you learned a lot of those skills that you're using now, even as early as in university at Oakwood. And the other thing I do want to mention is, man, you were part of a powerful class. I mean, Dr. Wesley Knight, Gamal Alexander, they were at the school at the same time as you. That must have, like you said, it must have been a really powerful time at that university.
It was the wonder years, man. I'm a freshman, and you got Wesley Knight, Robert Davis, Gamal, Pastor Bird, and had already graduated, but not long, before I got there. But then my class, I was classmates with Pastor Bron Jacobs, Pastor Barone Savory. I was classmates with Dr. John Nixon. I could go on and on and on. Wow. The class above us, I served in, when I was USM, United Student Movement Religious Vice, Dr. Myron Edmonds was the vice president, and Pastor Deb Lair Snell was the president. Wow. And we all worked together. So it was a real special time, 96 to 2000. You can say 2001 all the way back to 95. It's been, this year's my 20th year of graduating out of Oakwood. 20 years for me. And so it was a beautiful time. I worked with a lot of great men and women, Dr. Paula Fizeme, Dr. Andrea Trusty King. I want to stop calling names because inevitably I'm going to forget somebody. And say, hey, you didn't give me a shout out, but I had no pedigree. I didn't have an uncle or a cousin in this thing. I came from a public school, but I really felt God's hand was on me at Oakwood. I could sense it there. And listen, brother, even before Oakwood, let me tell you how some things work out. Mm. When I grew up in South Atlantic Conference, my youth director was Vernard Mendenhall, who eventually became the conference president. That was the youth director I remember. Then Daryl Howard became youth director, and I got to speak at all the federations and stuff before I went to Oakwood. Now, Mendenhall blessed my first child, and Daryl Howard works two offices down from me. Wow. At the conference office as a children's ministries director. So you can really see when God pulls stuff together,
Wow. Yeah, that's why I want, not to say that I wanted, the names to be shouted out, even though that's really awesome to hear them. It's just that I wanted to point out that we become really good at what we do when we are surrounded by a great group of leaders that can help elevate us, and we can mentor each other. And I think that's something that you really benefited from. And I think I saw, the reason I'm mentioning it is because I think I saw a post on Facebook, and it was all, I think it was you, Dr. Edmonds, Devalier Snell,
Chaplain Primo Davis.
Yes, Chaplain. And I was looking at that, and I was like, wow, that's some big names all in just going to college together. I think that was pretty awesome.
We were friends. Friends. It wasn't, to this day, nobody sees himself as like a big shot. We were just kids finding our way, following the Lord, man. And the minute you try to be the Lone Ranger or try to do this all by yourself and alienate people, that's not the way God had it set up. Even the disciples, there was 12. And even when he broke them apart, there was three, this work is meant to be done together, Wow. Fingers are no good without the hand. Toes don't work real good without the foot. And so we're a body for a reason.
Awesome. Going in the same vein of what you just said, after speaking to a number of youth directors, they have really opened my eyes to see that what your job really entails is not only preaching different churches and visiting all over the conference, but it is empowering leaders to lead out the ministries within the conference. Could you give us some insight in how you empower leaders to lead, you know, club ministries and other ministries that are in your conference?
Well, there's a big step you have to understand first when you step into youth ministry. You have to first acknowledge you are not the expert on everything. There have been some people, whether clergy or non-clergy, that have been at this a lot longer than you have. And when you come in with that mindset, with that humility, these people will support you, okay? If you come in trying to be the boss or I am empowering you, no, listen, some of these people empowered me, you know? A lot of these people empowered me, and I had to acknowledge where I had weaknesses, where I didn't have the experience. Just because I'm pastor and doctor doesn't mean I knew more about master guides than someone, or I knew more about AYM than someone else. There is a natural respect for clergy, but all good youth directors know how to acknowledge who's the expert. And when you give that person authority, they go indoors, we don't. There are people that talk to them that will never talk to us, you know? So it has to be respecting. For example, I was elected in 2016 and I was not a master guide. There are 1,000 ways to get the uniform, to get the pins, without doing the work. There are 1,000 ways to do that. There's a million ways for me to fake it. I went to our master guide coordinator and I said, I'm putting myself in your hands. Tell me what I must do to become one. And so at our largest camporee at the time, the Southern Union Camporee, I came in a Pathfinder uniform. I would not put on the green or the black until I did all my work. Well, by going through her and submitting myself to her, it gave me equity. The people saw I took it serious. The people saw that I was willing to defer and respect what takes place. And so when I became a master guide, instead of resentment, it was celebration, you know, because I submitted to people who technically were under me, but I never saw it like that, you know. And so part of empowering people, to answer your question directly, is also submitting to people. Remember how Jesus said, baptize me, you know, how Jesus washed people's feet, you know. Jesus didn't have to do any of those things, but it sent a sign that we're in this together, and I'm not here, I'm more interested in being your brother than your king.
Wow. What really stood out to me is you said, you were saying that they were empowering you, rather than you empowering them.
Absolutely.
I think that's really, that shows true humility as a leader, because like you said, I think when you show humility, it gives you, yes, equity as a leader. And I think that's really powerful.
We have 500 kids at a camporee, and I get up that morning and they say, okay, well, you know, call everything out. And I go to our Pathfinder coordinator and I say, no, you do it. I don't know what I'm doing yet, you know? And he said, well, you're like the, you know, commander in chief. And I said, but you're the chair of the Joint Chiefs. You know this a little better, you know? like I'm pretty sure when we had a good president like Barack Obama, he would submit to what the military people knew, because he's not a soldier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
even though he was the boss, you know, even though he made final calls, you have to be able to get good information from everybody.
Awesome. And being a drill instructor for myself in Pathfinder, it's really good when the drill instructor gets to call the commands, because they actually have the command voice. And that's actually a conversation I've had many a time.
Or you're gonna get a whole lot of "as you were, sir."
Yes.
As you were.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we're on the same page. Yes. So any leaders out there who are in leadership but aren't drillers, yes, defer to your drill instructors, please. Moving on, if I could just ask, you have stated, you know, you were really involved in youth ministry, and we can tell that you have a passion for it. Could you let us know, like, one of the best things that you've experienced engaging with youth as a youth director?
Wow. I believe in the power of presence, beyond programs, beyond activities, beyond anything that you can plan or do. I fully believe in the power of presence. Early in my ministry, the plan was just to be there. If they went to the hospital, you were there. They were graduating from high school, you were there. They were getting married, you were there. The tenderest thing for me in youth ministry is when they invite you into their lives. When you haven't been their pastor for 5 years, and they were teenagers, but now they're adults, and they say, "I want you to marry me. You know, I want you to marry me to my, you know, fiance, or do my premarital counseling." When a loved one dies, and they can call you from all the way across the country and say, "I want you to do the funeral." When they're going through something and nobody sees it, it'll never be on a flyer, it'll never be on a poster, it'll never be on social media, but the phone rings and they didn't call their pastor or their uncle, they called their youth director and said, "I just need to talk." Young people see authenticity. And if you are not authentic, they'll see right through you. And they may laugh with you and you may be popular with them, but they only go to real people when they're in trouble. And it's touching to me when young people invite me to be in the sacred parts of their life. There's nothing like that. My job naturally puts me in front of them. You know, but when I'm invited in the areas that I don't have access to, that makes youth ministry, you know, it makes it really sweet, you know, it makes it really sweet. And just to see excitement when you, you know, you show up somewhere and they're like, "Man, I'm so hyped you're here." You know, I mean, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. You know, we were at Oshkosh. And I would go by the tents. And it was never like, "Oh, he's here." You know what I mean? Yeah, "Oh, yeah. Here's the lame old guy there." You know, it was always like, "Hey, Pastor Washington, hey, what's up? You know, let's hang out." You know, and that's sweet. That's real sweet.
Wow. That's amazing. And what I get from that answer is, I think a lot of times we try to make it complicated or try to make it seem like it's difficult, but really there's a lot of simplicity in what you can do. And like you said in the beginning, is just be there, just the presence.
We throw the baby out with the bathwater. Wow. You know, there's a place for innovation. There's a place for being cutting edge and out of the box. But the box has brought us a mighty long way.
Yes.
You know, we're saying, let's get out of the box. But the box has brought us a mighty long way. And kids aren't complicated. You know, you can do a whole lot of work where they'll laugh, like I said, where they'll laugh with you. They'll think you're, you know, cool, but in their heart, you're not really connected with them, you know? And if you keep youth ministry kind of simple, you know, and listen, another thing too, young people want to be mentored. They want to be challenged. They want to be taught. They want to go to another level. You don't have to dumb it down, you know? I've never used slang to get my point across or try to dress just like them. I don't do that, you know, because a lot of people do that and they don't really respect it, you know. But if you are genuinely yourself and give Jesus and just make it your goal to be present, it goes a long way. And remember what attracted you when you were a young person. Mm. And it was mostly somebody caring about your life. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Wow, this guy has all this stuff to do. And they care about my life. That makes a big difference.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Pastor, we are actually in the midst of a pandemic. You're in the South Atlantic Conference. I've been asking those I've been interviewing during this time is, have you felt that even though we're in a time of social distancing and some people in quarantine and restrictions by even the government for participating in mass gatherings and things like that, have you felt that even though camporees and these things have been canceled, youth ministry is still as active as ever?
No, it's not as active as ever. That'd be hyperbolic to say that. I think there's no reason why you can't make an impact. And that's the difference. The first thing I did when all this hit, I put no pressure on myself to be the hero of this story. Jesus is the hero of this story. I find a disturbing trend of humanism in youth ministry, where we feel as if a plethora of activity equates to spirituality, and it doesn't. Okay. And so you can put yourself out there and you can burn yourself out to prove to everybody, look how active I am, you know, look how busy I am. And in the meantime, you ain't prayed about it, you know. In the meantime, you've not taught a young person to depend on God in prayer. You've actually taught them that prayer was weak and inefficient, that prayer was passive, and it equates to doing nothing. So, because I didn't have that pressure, you know, during this time, I've paced myself. And I've, like I said, I've gone back to fundamentals. I just stay in touch. I plan with my team. You know, we're putting our heads together to know what we can and can't do, what's important. And then also, we're not trying to duplicate what works. My daughter sat in the social media honors class that you guys produced.
Oh, wow.
The other day, my 10-year-old daughter. And I have been directing people to that. Like, I don't have to have a South Atlantic stamp on it for it to be good youth ministry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I let Abraham know that. That is clean and efficient work. And we don't have to be duplicitous. We don't. We can support one another, you know? Unless we're looking for credit. Now, if you're looking for credit, you know, you'll tear down the other guy or girl and build your own thing, you know. but my child sat with you guys not long ago, and that's an awesome program. Awesome, awesome program. Kudos to you guys for setting that up. But we can make a difference during this time if we consent to just being present, to give these young people your heart, saying, I'm available to you, you know? And when you do your programming online and when you do your plans, it's just forms to assist them to stay connected to God, to assist their mental health, and to give them a social connection through Jesus Christ. So I think we can make a difference. It's nothing like getting together. When you can get 1,000 Pathfinders together, when you can have a federation, there's nothing like that, okay? And we have to be honest with ourselves. This is not the same thing. But I do think we can make a big difference even during this. And we have the advantage because technology is intuitive to the people we're serving.
Yes. Yeah.
The boomers are struggling with this a little bit because this is all new. Mm-hmm. This is not new to our groups. We've been doing this, you know? So
yes,
you have an advantage.
Yes. And just to follow up on that, you were saying that it's nothing like getting together. What I've been asking as a follow-up is to, like, just go back in time to a couple months to Oshkosh, which is the complete opposite of this time of a pandemic. How did that event impact your young people in your conference?
Oh, man. It is, that event is of God. Now, I do think we have to have a little bit more cultural sensitivity at Oshkosh. But Dr. Whitehead and the rest of the team, flesh and blood can't produce events like that. That is the level of camaraderie and spirituality. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they both came. And nightly, their mouths are just like, I mean, it was just wow, you know, our kids, you know, and there's not these major negative events there. Nobody's getting beat up. Nobody's getting robbed. Nobody's getting kidnapped. God bless the International Campery. I shook his hand thoroughly and the entire team. It was my honor to be a part of it because it's what Jesus wants. When you pull that many people together, and for months on, all these kids are singing that song, Chosen, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it changed. You know, the first night they sang it, it was, oh, this is kind of corny. By the last night, I'm talking about full throat. These guys are standing to their feet and just shouting it out. And you can hear that's it on right. the buses the next morning. That's transformative, and that's the power God promises to be with his people if only two or three are there, you know? Mm. And so when you pull that many people together, it's exponential power, and it's amazing.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Pastor Washington, you're giving some amazing stuff. It's actually opening my eyes, especially your thoughts on presence, keeping it simple. I think those words can be powerful to anyone who is listening and who may be a little hesitant to be active in youth ministry. So let me ask this question of you, Pastor. How would you speak to a church that may not be as passionate or a leader that may not be as passionate about youth ministry that thinks it's something that can be ignored or not put emphasis on? How do you explain the importance of it to someone like that?
Right. Well, the first thing you share with them is your personal testimony. I am 42 years old, and I grew up at a time where you didn't ask the question if we're having AY. It was, when is AY? So your day went like this. Your Sabbath day went from Sabbath school to divine worship. More than likely, you grew up going to the children's story during worship. You'd have fellowship lunch. There was some type of outreach event. And then you came to AY, and AY was targeted on the young people. And that night you had a social or a drill off or something like that, a camp out, and it changed your life. When you're speaking to people about getting involved in youth ministry, you first have to let them know how it changed your life. I didn't grow up with much. The church was my oasis. And there are young people everywhere looking for a getaway, looking for somewhere where they can mean something, looking for a place where they can discover they're special or have a great gift or have something to offer the world. And that forum can be your church. You can actually change your life. The second thing that I say a lot to churches, if Jesus delays his coming, it's the only way we can survive. It's the only way.
Wow.
Let me say something to you. And it doesn't take much. If you give grace to a young person, grace, like they come to church, they're not polished, they don't know the lingo, they couldn't tell you the difference between a barbecue and a benediction. But if you just show, I'm happy you're here, they'll always return when they're older. They'll make pilgrimage to come back to their home church because it is where I found God. They'll do it. They'll never forget. They'll go away to school and be productive members, but they'll always come home. And if they live in that city, that's a lifeline to make your church grow. And all it takes is grace. Cut them some slack. Understand they're not perfect. The worst thing in the world is a awful, mean drill instructor. Don't get me wrong. A drill instructor has to be tough. But show some love and some grace. Let them know, hey, I see you progressing. I see you doing better. It changes that child's life. It changes their life because we live in a society where black and brown kids aren't embraced. They're the scourge of the earth, you know? And in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the regional conferences are the only entities that still care about the hood, you know?
Wow.
And so it makes a big difference in your local church when you show grace to kids. Now, hear me closely. Some people hear that and say, accept everything. No, you teach the truth, you know? And I was taught a very conservative truth. Growing up, you couldn't touch the communion table at church. Yeah, you couldn't walk in the pulpit.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not very conservative, but I was taught a conservative truth. But there was love behind it. You know what I mean? And this was the place I was celebrated. I was somebody. I was 15 years old and the AY leader. You know what I mean? It gave me a sense of purpose. And when churches do that, you extend the life of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is not going to fail anyway. Prophecy says we're not going to fail. But also you change the lives of young people. And it makes a big difference.
Wow. Pastor Donovan, thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast. You have blessed me, if not many people who will listen to this, but if not, I know definitely it was a blessing to me to learn from you. As I usually do on the podcast, I give it back to the guests to give some words of encouragement. There is a youth leader who needs some words of encouragement on how just being present in the life of young people can change lives. What words of encouragement can you give to that youth leader today?
Well, since the last time I'm talking, first I want to say something to you. Don't get weary in doing this. More people are watching you than you know. You're making a bigger impact than you think, okay? You are dedicated. You are faithful. You and I have never had a long conversation face-to-face or anything like that, but I watch you, and you are a gift to God's people. So keep it up. Your youth directors have been phenomenal. Jason North is my friend, and I've just gotten to know Abraham, and he's doing a wonderful job, wonderful job.
Amen.
After seminary, I almost came to Lake Region. I was working in Hyde Park with Dr. Miles in Chicago. But God sent me another way. But keep up the good work, my friend. And for any youth leader out there, you don't have to be like anyone else. God has called you to make an impact where you are. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the most polished. All God wants is your hands and your heart. That's all He wants. There is a child that has nothing, and the church exists to let that child know that out of everyone who loves them, God loves them the most. And your ministry and your voice can be the entity that makes that happen. Jesus Christ through the church saved my life. Gave me a positive trajectory. And that work is still going on today. And we need youth leaders who are committed to that. If this is about ego, if this is about a deficiency in your life, just quit now. It's not going to come to anything. And the devil's going to hate you if you get a part of this. He's going to attack you. He's going to make you feel like you're not appreciated. But if you're out there, join us. You don't have to be pastor either. We're not calling everybody to be pastor. Everybody doesn't have that call. You can be just who you are and make a big difference in your ministry. So that's my encouragement to anybody who's out there. And you keep up the good work. And thank you for this great opportunity.